to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us as we come your way Sundays at 7 a.m., 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com, and we archive the programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. We also link to our guests' websites so that you can gather all that good information that they have available for you, and we encourage you to do so because what they have to share with you is important. That's one of the reasons why we bring it to you, and we encourage you to check that out. Today, our guest is the author of Step Out of Your Story, Writing Exercises to Reframe and Transform Your Life. Kim Schneiderman is my guest. I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, it's just obviously right up our alley, Tell Me Your Story and all that good stuff. But it's one of those things where I think about a lot of the television programs in particular, which is made up of stories, of course, that I happen to watch, how bored I'm getting with the same old drama with the protagonist and all of these different things, and it always seems to either end the same way. If it's a 30-minute sitcom, they solve the problem and life goes on. Everybody's happy. But nowadays, of course, instead of calling them evening soap operas, it's just a television show that just continues the story. You know what I'm saying? Which is our life. I mean, every day. When I talk with people, for example, about coming in to, say, record a commercial or even do a program, and they get nervous. So, well, what am I going to talk about? It's like, well, you're going to talk about what you know. I'm not going to ask you what you don't know. You know, I mean, I don't know, Kim. Do you know anything about nuclear physics?
No, nothing.
Then I won't be asking you about that. But, but I will be asking you about your story and about setting up and writing and all of these different aspects that a lot of us, myself included, growing up in grade school and high school, hated writing. Oh my gosh. Because if you had to have 5 pages, it was like, where am I going to come up with enough information, especially in creative writing class? Now, if you were writing a book report, you were writing a story about some historical event, that wasn't so bad because you could usually nominally plagiarize from the textbook. But when you're writing about your own life, there is no plagiarism and you don't know where to start. And I guess it is the most logical place. I was born on a Sunday in the middle, in the late part of June, 1960. And you kind of carry it on from there. Or do we, and I guess the other thing is, how is this different from journal writing? So maybe we'll start there with what is our story? And how is that different from just journal writing?
Okay, well, I mean, I want to define, I think the way that I define story may be different than both journal writing or kind of writing a memoir. You know, what my focus is basically looking at like providing people tools to tell their story in a way that is constructive and empowering, because how you tell your story affects how you feel about your story, which can impact how it unfolds. So my book is really mainly about providing a series of techniques and a framework for telling your story as a personal growth adventure. Which doesn't mean that you can't look back at, you know, you can't sort of explore who you are as the protagonist of your own narrative. But what I do is, instead of like going back and having you tell your story from the beginning of time, I ask my readers to begin with the present chapter and explore their character arc, how they, to take sort of control of the authorship reins of their life and think about how they want to evolve, if they were a character in a novel, how would they want their story to unfold? That's kind of what I, so it's a little bit different than journal writing or even memoir writing.
Okay. Now, I know that even as I would be writing in my journal, and this goes back to the age of, I think, 20 or 21, I still have those books, and they're very interesting to go back and look at.
Yeah.
But I always remember that there was this thought in the back of my mind that what if, just for the sake of argument, that somebody else ended up reading this? Somebody I didn't want to have reading this. So then I started to, at least in my own mind, my intellect, thinking, okay, I need to edit this and I shouldn't use these words. And you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Whereas if we could translate our life story from a television version of a reality show onto paper, okay, there's no editing because they're going to, what you are going to see is what's going to be on the page.
Absolutely.
So there, you can't go back and do that. And I've even said to people, I said, you know, if my life was a reality show, they were following me around, I wouldn't watch it because it's not that interesting to me. My life is interesting to me, but not in terms of publicizing it. That's why I'm not a real heavy social media person.
Mm-hmm.
That may change, but at least for right now. So I'm just curious as to the level of I don't know if I want to use the word honesty,
mm-hmm.
or telling the truth, the real events. Like, I mean, I was just talking with my sister the other day and we were discussing my younger brother and how I said, yeah, I remember when we were kids, we were like maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, and I threw this garbage can at him and I thought it had hit him in the mouth and I'd knocked out his front two teeth. And she says, oh, no, you hit him in the forehead and he had to go to the hospital and get stitches. He fell on a wagon and broke out his two front teeth. So I'm not even remembering the story correctly.
It's funny how memory works that way.
Yeah. All I do remember is that I had injured him in some fashion, and certainly I'm right. Sorry for doing so. But by the same token, looking at the events in our lives, I mean, I've read, for example, my metaphysical primer, Autobiography of a Yogi. I sometimes wonder, how does this guy actually remember the events that took place in that level, that much detail, 20, 30, maybe 40 years after they happened? Just my example to you, I don't remember the exact details. I have to have one of my siblings to remind me, no, this is how it actually happened.
Right. I mean, so I'm getting I'm a psychotherapist, I actually have a private practice in Manhattan, and I was a writer before I became a therapist. I worked as a journalist. Again, like my main goal is using writing as a tool for people to explore their story and to find meaning in their story, because the more that you can find meaning in your story, the richer your life is. It's kind of like what you're describing. Like, there's many ways to tell your story, right? We're constantly sifting through various interpretations of what happened. You just described, you told the story from the past one way, you found out that you had omitted some details, and that's how memory works. Sometimes we do omit, we emphasize certain points, we omit details, and as we tell our story over and over again, it's never the same, you know. And we also will often like modify, like for we'll tell a story one way to our best friend in a very different way than we might tell our story to our boss, right? Because we're constantly editing, I think that's very natural. But my concern is like, how do we tell it to ourselves in a way that doesn't like gloss over the harder parts? Because I think you were kind of intimating this earlier, like if we spin our stories, like is it a bad thing to spin our story? Yeah. Were you asking me that? Maybe I just want to.
In a manner of speaking, and I guess maybe in terms of the relevancy to, again, what we're talking about, as you are discussing in the book, Step Out of Your Story, in terms of the writing, and this is not something that is necessarily going to be read by anybody else, so we don't need to really be concerned about the truths contained therein. And I guess that may take us into a different area, but maybe that's kind of where I'm coming from is how important is or are the facts of our story in terms of finding that deeper meaning, finding the important aspects that are going to help us to transform our lives.
Right. Well, I mean, there's different ways to, sometimes like we focus on like the, I talk about the inner and the outer story there. Sometimes we focus on like what happened to us, like the objective version of events. But oftentimes, like I went, which is kind of like, when you bump into a friend and they say, what have you been up to? You tell them, oh, I went to California last week and I've been doing radio interviews and, you know, I had to take my dog to the vet. But that often, I met someone. And we don't always talk about, but that's like the outer story. But there's an internal experience of all of these things that often gets kind of is undervalued. And so what I try to do in my book is I try to help people understand that, like, if they look at their life as a personal growth adventure, then the things that happen to them internally are the things that are challenging them in their storyline. The challenges that show up are in their plot line are an opportunity for them to develop their character, so that that inner story, like when we can, you know, like let's say, you know, for example, I'll just give you this, writing this book for the past 2 years, the antagonist of my story has been running this book. It's been one of the most challenging things I've ever done. It was a demand of my time and asked me to be more disciplined than I normally am. And there were a lot of obstacles along the way, but internally it forced me to overcome maybe some insecurities or some distractions within myself. And it was a really good tool for personal growth. So that underlying story is part of my, is an important part of my story that you're right, maybe I won't share with the world, but all of that is an important part of the story. And the point of my book is to value all of those experiences, to value what happens to us and the maybe things that we might not be so proud of, but are the things that ultimately help, or we might not feel good about, but help us grow, and to look at them that way.
So
does that answer your question? I'm not sure.
Well, I'm going to get further clarification from you in that I understand where you're coming from in that regard. And so my follow-up to that would be then the facts as we would remember them, as we write them down for this exercise, in the process of transforming, is less important than the meaning of those various parts of our story, the various individuals that were a part of our story. I mean, I can list off a fairly long list of protagonists, especially in grade school, and yet, you know, here I am today. I survived. So in terms of identifying what they did as protagonists is not so much the important factor as that they were in that role and my response to the protagonist.
Right. Do you mean they were, do you mean that they were antagonists in your story? Were they, they were important, were they supporting characters or did they challenge you?
Challenge, the bullies.
They were bullies.
Yeah.
Okay, so they were antagonists.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sorry, can you just restate the question so I make sure that I understand it?
That's right, this is a deposition. And
no, I'm just not sure.
No, I understand. No, I'm being facetious.
I'm sorry, it's me.
I'm being facetious. But it's really about the ways in which we faced the various challenges or events in our lives that is really the important part. For example, my example of myself and my brother when we were kids, the specifics that my sister corrected me on were not as important as the fact that I acknowledged the fact that I injured my brother in one of those incidents.
Right. So that was the meaning, right? The meaning, what you felt about it, your inner experience of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that is important. I mean, I think that they're both important, but we're constantly using what you just did is your power of interpretation to make meaning of things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what you're describing is that you had the internal experience, this thing happened, the meaning, all you remembered is that you hurt your brother, really. And mm-hmm. then you kind of distorted the outer facts. But the experience that you walked away with is, was that you did this thing and you hurt your brother. And you carried that story that I hurt my brother when I was a kid into your current life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I mean, as a therapist, my concern mainly is, how is that story affecting you now? How does it play out? Does it affect how you feel about yourself as a person? How you engage with relationships? Probably something like that wouldn't have that much of an impact. But there are things that happen in our lifetimes, like, if we've encountered a lot of antagonists as kids, we can tell ourselves stories about who we are as a person that we may need to, and we, you know, depending on how we respond to the to those antagonists, we can tell ourselves stories about who we are that, you know, that may not be necessarily true. Because, I mean, one of the points that I try to make is we can always change our story about ourselves. But going back to your question, I think that, you know, it's like Gabriel Garcia, you know, Gabriel Garcia Marquez said in one of his books, what happens to us, what matters most is not what happens to us, but how, what we remember and how we tell it.
Hmm.
So it only matters, you know, how you remember that story in terms of how it affects who you are today.
Mm-hmm. The relationships that I have, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera. Yeah, right. Yeah. And so all of those things is, you know, it's not about, like, there's one of the techniques that I use in my book is, the whole purpose of the book is to help people look at themselves, imagine themselves as the hero of their own narratives with the power to reclaim and transform their personal story. Because the premise is that every life is an unfolding story, a unique, unpredictable, dynamic, and potentially heroic story that's open to interpretation, especially your own. That's kind of the premise of my book. And so the problem is that oftentimes people don't take the time to really ask themselves, like, you know, to step out of their story and ask themselves, like, who is this character, you know, I'm playing? What is my story about? Who is writing my script? Or how can the, you know, the challenges that I face help me to move to the next chapter. And so what I do to help people engage in this process is I give them this tool of writing in the third person narrative, which gives them a little bit, so you're writing about yourself as if you were looking at your life, like in reading your life in a novel or watching it in a movie. And so it's a little bit of an emotional, it's an emotional distancing technique that helps people look at themselves more compassionately. So there, and it's based on, going back to your question earlier, it's based on research that shows when we tend to, look at ourselves through the third person narrative, we tend to view ourselves much more compassionately as people, for example, who've overcome obstacles than if we're talking about ourselves in the first person, when our ego's involved, they've done a bunch of research studies on this that shows that we tend to be more in our victim story. But if we can step out of our story in the third person, we tend to be more compassionate. So if we're looking at our lives through that compassionate stance, saying like, I was bullied as a kid, but I overcame this and I, you know, it helped me become a stronger person today. And because of all of those experiences, I developed the sensitivity to other people's pain. And that's why I've become a radio show host, because I can help people who people who may be in those stories themselves. Then we found a way to make meaning of our story. And so it doesn't even matter. Sometimes the little details of the past don't matter as much as the meaning that we make of it. And in that way, like when people say, well, doesn't truth count for anything? And I say, well, how do you know what the truth is sometimes? Like everybody always has a different interpretation. It's like the parable of the blind man of the elephant, where all these blind men are feeling different parts of the elephant. And they're thinking that the tail is the elephant. No, the trunk is the elephant. Well, it's all part of the elephant. But again, my concern is not so much what's truthful per se, because that's kind of elusive. But what's constructive, like, can we look at our, can you look back and say, yes, it was hard being a kid, being bullied by all these antagonists, but I grew from it. I got stronger, and or today I'm a much more compassionate human being because of all those things that I went through, which is a much more empowering way to be in the present.
You know, when we are watching our television shows and movies, and we're watching the story unfold, and we kind of get wrapped, we get wrapped up in that story. And I sit there sometimes and try to predict what's going to happen next. And we were watching one program the other night, and I managed to predict about three or four times, okay, he's going to cut off his hand. Cut off his hand. And she's going to slap him. And she slapped him. I mean, it was so predictable in that respect. But bringing that back to the point, if we were able to look at our story in that same vein, as you just described, we would be able to do just that. We'd be able to, in a manner of speaking, as it is said, the choices that we made then have placed us where we are now. So now what choices are we going to make so that we don't wind up there or here again, in that we want to move forward? We want to move upward and onward. There's some of us who we want to raise our consciousness to a new level of thinking and living and feeling and being that is more conducive to a better life for all, that we're thriving, we're exuberant about getting up in the morning, if you will, and going out and experiencing what's out there, rather than reliving the same story over and over again, i.e. insanity.
Right. I mean, people often get stuck in the same old storylines, thinking that their life is always going to be this way. I mean, or nothing's going to change, or I'm not good enough. And they think that, just kind of like you were describing, that that because of the way things have happened, that there's no control over, like, the story has always been this way, therefore the future will be the same thing. And the point of my book is looking as kind of is giving people some tools and techniques to step out of their story and say, and see that, let's say you have a recurring character that shows up in your story and it's always in different guises. For example, let's say you had a father that was kind of a bully, and then you were bullied by kids, and then you had a bully as a boss, and you always have this bully character that shows up, you know, and maybe your wife was a bully or your husband was a bully, and you always have this bully character that shows up in your life. And traditionally, you've responded to this bully character in a particular way. And maybe you get into the victim story. Ugh, why do these bullies keep showing up? I'm such a victim. But if you can step out of your story and look at your life, and what I like to call my book is, it's a character development workout for people who like to write. If you can look at the antagonist, this recurring character, the antagonist of your story, as a personal trainer, you know, like we all have, some of us go to the gym. We have a personal trainer who works out our underdeveloped muscles that we can become stronger and hold more. But if you can see that this is an opportunity for you to develop yourself, to develop the parts of yourself maybe where you're not so strong, or let's say that you constantly, when a bully show, and I had this actually with a client this morning in my private practice, there's a bully character that shows up all in her life all the time, and she always runs away, or she just says, "Why are you hurting me?" and she runs away. Well, one of the things we've talked about is it's really an opportunity for her to exercise her assertiveness muscle, to say, this is not okay, you know. And now that her son is kind of demonstrating some bullying, you know, he's younger and he's done some bullying stuff with her, for her, instead of saying like, ouch, that hurt, and walking away, for her to say, no, go to your room. You know, this is not okay. You can't treat me this way. You can't treat people this way. And it's an opportunity for her to change her story by changing her character. Does that make, and so that's a very, and then when you can see that you have that power to co-author your story becomes a lot less predictable, and you can see yourself, or at least it allows your story, you can look at your story with more of a sense of adventure. How is this, I wonder how this will unfold. I have more control to change who I am in response to the characters in my story. And therefore, in a lot of ways, I maybe not be able to control what happens, because there's a lot of things in our story that we can't control, but I can mind the opportunity, the challenges that show up in my plot line is opportunities to just transform my character in a really positive and constructive way.
I think that observing from the third person our story and writing it from that standpoint, I think is valuable. As you're saying these things, I mean, these images go through my mind of my own story. And what it makes me think of is the various ways in which I coped with the antagonist or bullies in my life down through the years, where when I was a kid, I ran. I mean, I was great in track and field, and that experience helped me a lot. I won a few ribbons in that regard. But you can't always run. And I even had some situations where I tried to stand up to the bully, and that didn't work out so well in those circumstances. Other times, and one that just came to mind was one of my jobs back in Phoenix, where I was working for a station, and the gentleman who hired me and treated me as if I was his new best friend when he hired me started to treat me 2 weeks after I was hired as if I just killed his best friend, and now I was his worst enemy. And this is the way he treated me right up until the end. So instead of running away, quitting, and I phrased it, giving him the satisfaction of my running away or quitting, I hunkered down in the production room for the most part. And I don't know if I'd call that standing my ground, but needless to say, to where eventually they, quote unquote, laid me off with a rather healthy severance package, which said to me, you know, what you've done to me was wrong. Otherwise, you wouldn't be trying to soften it with this thing over here. And now what I see, and this is very interesting, the way that you're putting this, when we can go back and look at all of those different instances, as we write our story, we get out of ourselves, we step away and we start writing the script, if you will, the screenplay of our story in that third person, we start to be able to see, at least this is my observation of what we've shared thus far, how we have actually handled that specific situation each time a little differently until we begin to realize, and this is something that just struck me, that there is even a higher way of handling this kind of a situation through a level of communication that could, how do I want to put this, that could diffuse the energetic that has been normally created in our story to where we don't regenerate those things again. And then we get to, as you've very well put, we get to write a different, so to speak, ending to that scenario. And we don't have to do that anymore.
Right, exactly. And we get to become a different character.
Yeah.
If we were the kind of character who ran, like, that doesn't define us for our entire lives. We're not always defined as the character who ran.
Right.
Because, you know, the character who, you know, who stood up and, you know, who fought. You, like what you're describing is in this situation, you fought for it, you know, and you felt, it sounds like you walked away with a sense of satisfaction about, and that you carried that sense of satisfaction to some degree into your story. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I'm not sure I wanted, I mean, to clarify what you mean by communication, but I always think, you know, there are ways for people. I mean, I'm a therapist and I'm a writer, so I really am a big firm believer in communication, although it does have its limits because sometimes people really just can't hear things. But being able to express ourselves and our needs and not apologize for ourselves and be assertive is definitely, you know, I don't know the exact situation they were facing, but certainly another way to handle things.
Sure. I mean, and I think the biggest concern for me in my own life is becoming that which I am struggling with or am challenged by. In other words, becoming the bully. You know, and taking on that persona, it's like, oh, I don't really want, that's not me. I don't want to go there.
Right.
I don't want to deal with these dramas. I've had enough. I've seen enough on TV, more than my share on television, and I really don't want them in my own life.
Right, but here's the thing. Your life is filled, this is going to sound very cynical, but I'm going to explain what I mean because I'm actually quite an optimist. But life is full of, just like in the stories that we love where there's always a conflict between the protagonist and the antagonist, and that tension
mm-hmm.
moves the story forward. Life is also full of these conflicts, and they're not necessarily conflicts that involve like physical challenges, or they're, you can look at it like it's the necessary friction of life. It forces us to become stronger and get to know ourselves better. It's kind of like looking at the story of the Wizard of Oz, which is one I always like to use, that she had to go on this journey to find with what was in, you know, that she was challenged by the Wicked Witch and all of these things that happened to her, to find within herself the strength that she needed to come home.
Yeah.
You know, wisdom or the appreciation or the love that she needed to want what she had and to appreciate what she had. So sometimes we need to go on these journeys in life to really understand kind of like who we are as a character and what we're made of. And it's not to say, like, I oftentimes, people come into, you know, as a therapist, people come to me and they're like, why is all this stuff happening? And I kind of think like that sometimes there are, especially with the younger generation, the millennials, they think they're supposed to be happy like all the time. I don't think that's really, I mean, certainly there are people that have more charmed lives than others, but ultimately we're always going to be challenged by something because that's kind of keeping us alive. It keeps us growing. And I in my book don't describe, and I, in my opinion, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Like we want to stay challenged. And I don't mean that like we can, but we can kind of change the challenges that face us.
Right.
You know,
right.
Just to kind of identify with what you're saying. It used to be that I would have these bullies that showed up in my life, and because I didn't have a strong enough sense of myself, they would get to me. And so I would start to question myself. And as I've become a more confident person, this recurring character of the bully that shows up in my life has a lot less power over me. It might annoy me, but there's a sense of satisfaction sometimes when I'm able to let it roll off of me in a way that I hadn't before. And I feel good in yeah. some weird way. That doesn't mean that. And so what I've noticed, and this maybe might be my spiritual perspective, is because it doesn't bother me so much, this kind of conflict doesn't happen quite so much in my story. However, that doesn't mean that there isn't, you know, it's kind of like, it reminds me, and I've never been a gamer, but as a kid, I played Pac-Man, and you get up to the next level of challenge. Like mm-hmm. We've mastered one level, and then there's another level. And that, if you can look at these challenges as opportunities to really grow and become a different person and a better character or a richer, more evolved character, really, you can grow through almost any experience. And I say almost because, quite frankly, I read, you know, things in the newspaper and things I hear things on television, like horrible tragedies. And ultimately, it's very hard to imagine myself personally being able to grow through those kinds of experiences. Although then you hear about people like, you know, Nelson Mandela, who have managed to do that. So because he had a sense of his life having purpose and meaning, and there was a larger narrative, you know, there that he was much more aware of. So he was able not just invested in his own ego.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if we can kind of look at ourselves as like those things that show up in our story, they change. I mean, you know, I loosely define, I have people identify like kind of like describe, if your life was a novel, what is the title of the current chapter? And then describe it in 8 to 10 sentences, but in the third person narrative. So you're saying Richard, you know, might be running a radio show, and then Richard describes what's going on in his life in 10, you know, and then I would have you single out the antagonist and look at like, what is this antagonist in your story pushing you? How is it pushing you to stretch and grow as a person? And what I'm very careful to say is that the antagonist of your story isn't always a villain. The antagonist, and this is how I define it in my book, it could be someone you really love, or it could be something that is a really amazing experience. Like for me, it was writing a book that's challenging you to grow and beyond your perceived limitations of who you think you are. So it could be a good thing, but that those challenges and that tension, it's kind of part of the inevitability of life. And hopefully the more that you kind of grow through these experiences, and when we watch a movie or reread a novel, we expect that the character is going to be challenged in some way. And then we kind of root for their transformation. We hope that they will do this and that and end up in a particular place where we can walk away and feel like, we feel sort of like good about the film or the book that we're reading.
Yeah.
But it's harder to do with our own lives. So that's why I ask people to kind of step out of their stories and say, hey, if you were reading about this situation right now in a novel, what would you root for? How would you, like, let's say it wasn't you. Mm-hmm. Let's say it was somebody else, but it was somebody else who was playing you, who looked like you, had all your personality, you know, everything. What would you want to happen? And how would you maybe imagine that this would be an opportunity for this character to develop the tools or the insights or the personality strengths or to grow into the kind of character that you would say, wow, that was like worth the journey. I enjoy being part of that adventure. And that's kind of what I'm helping people will get out of reading this book.
And we're going to talk more about that as we continue talking with Kim Schneiderman, author of Step Out of Your Story, Writing Exercises to Reframe and Transform Your Life. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Tell me your story.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We're talking with Kim Schneiderman, author of Step Out of Your Story. That's Step Out of Your Story. It's writing exercises to reframe and transform your life. The website, very nicely done, is stepoutofyourstory.com. And Kim, I thank you for staying with us here on the program. You know, you opened up a wonderful little segue into this segment by us now talking about not only utilizing the book that you've written, Step Out of Your Story, but also about your practice and what you're doing there in the New York area. And we're going to get into the process of doing just that, of transforming one's life. We're going to watch the movie. We can title it whatever we want. If your name, my name, his name, her name. And we're going to watch this film, and we're going to observe how things unfold. And like when watching the horror B movies, where the girls are running off screaming when something jumps out, and the guys are going to go inside that building, and we know, you know, you shouldn't go in there. Reminds me of that Saturday morning program, I think it was 3000 AD or something like that, science fiction theater, where the puppets and the main character, the gentleman, were sitting there in silhouette. They were sort of mocking the film, but also running a commentary as to what the characters should and shouldn't do. So I want to ask you, in terms of how all this began for you, in terms of your story, where did this aspect of Kim begin?
Sure. In my imagination. I mean, I was a really imaginative kid. And I was always kind of reading a book, and I had this character that I would sign my name Kim S. in person, which I know seems like really weird right now, but I think that it was sort of that sense of, again, like a sense of self-consciousness, I guess, maybe, that I had as a kid. And really, the idea to create a series of work. This book was a series of workshops before it was a book. And basically, it was mainly inspired by a couple of things. One is that over time, whenever I would find myself in a situation that was challenging, I would at times, because I saw myself as a character in a story, ask myself, like, you know, why, you know, if I were reading, I would stop to think about if I were reading about this, what would I want to happen here? You know, or why would, for me, because I'm a spiritual person, why would a benevolent author place this in my story, you know, if for my own good? So these are questions and perspectives that I had. And then there was also that I noticed that also as an English major, and I noticed that people, when they were talking about, you know, when they were talking about literature and analyzing characters' motivations, that they would often like impose their own personalities or, you know, way psychology into their descriptions. And I thought, like, wow, it's like in some ways talking about the character is giving them an outlet to describe to express parts of themselves, but in a disguised way. And that kind of made me think maybe a third person would be helpful. You know, that there maybe there was a way to transfer that in like, so that you weren't talking about, like, you know, Lolita, but you're talking about, you know, yourself. And then I had also, like, read, I have to say, there was an interview that I read a few years ago with Kirk Douglas, the actor. And he was, there was, he studies Kabbalah, and he had a Kabbalah teacher who was this rabbi who's also, I guess, Goldie Hawn's Kabbalah teacher too. And Kabbalah is like Jewish mysticism. And the teacher had said, wow, you know, to Kirk, every time you, I think you're such an amazing actor, every time you take on these stories, you become the character. And Kirk said, you know, actually, that's not true. I never completely become the character. I always give a lot of love and energy into these parts, but I always, there's a little bit of distance because I know that I'm playing a role. And I thought to myself, you know, that's sometimes like, what would it be like to help people? Could I help people see themselves as characters playing a role? Because sometimes when people, especially when I developed these workshops, it was the recession and people were really feeling who had defined themselves, especially in New York City, by their jobs, like by the roles that they played. And they felt like they didn't have, like they didn't matter anymore. Or they didn't, you know, they were so lost without defining themselves in these ways. And I thought to myself that people, I could help people see themselves as, you know, characters in a story, seeing their story as larger than the roles that they play, then maybe it would be a helpful perspective. And I have to tell you, like, it's not just like all this in theory, because in my own life, I've had, you know, a lot of challenges, particularly with loss and losing two parents to cancer. And, you know, my father, for example, was the antagonist of my childhood story. And when my mother died, it was an opportunity for us to get a lot closer. But then he ultimately developed terminal cancer, and I had to temporarily take a leave of absence from my private practice in New York and become his hospice caregiver in Florida. And during that time, my father and I really got to heal a lot of aspects of our relationship, to the point where at the end of his life, he said, wow, I can't believe I'm still like learning and growing. And I said, well, what have you learned? And he said that people have found a way to love me, and I found a way to love them. And it was just an incredible moment that had really stayed with me. And even after my father died, and it was a very painful, painful experience. And I don't, you know, we're talking about remembering the events that happened. I could tell you, you know, I remember very clearly all the tough times that I went through those few months of being my father's caregiver. And it was, you know, emotionally and physically and mentally exhausting. And yet I can look back at that story and really see it as a redemptive story, you know, a story of the prodigal daughter, you know, in some ways, of the healing and transfer, as opposed to how some people might read it, like a tragedy. Well, it's so sad that you and your father finally got close and then he died. But I don't read it that way, because I really choose to read it as, and it's not that I'm just making a choice because that isn't truthful, because for me, that healing and transformation that happened because my father and I were thrown into that scene in our story together was really healed me in ways that are hard to describe. So I really, you know, I choose to read it and as a story of healing and redemption, and that by choosing to read it that way, or to choosing to tell it that way right now, it affects how I feel about myself and my relationships.
And I can certainly relate to that as well, because the events that obviously that we all go through. I know that I've done this little mental exercise on more than one occasion. I know we all have. If I could just go back and change this. And I know that I don't know if you're familiar, but I've heard that there was sort of a new therapy, or maybe it's not so new, maybe it's been around a long time, but I'm not sure how valuable it is. And that is to go in and change the story. Go in and change it so that it turns out the way you want it, so that you can feel better. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that's, is there, from your perspective, is there real value there, or are you being dishonest with yourself because you're not willing to face the truth of what happened in your story, that you have to, there was so much trauma there that you have to go back and you have to rewrite it so that it ends differently?
Right. Well, what you're asking, I've heard about that kind of therapy, and I think that's a little different than what we're talking about. But ultimately, I mean, I have to think about this some more, but again, like, I can go back into my story and remember that there were really hard things. I remember, you know, all the insure and making sure my father had his meds and the times that I had to hold his hand through waves of fear and pain. I remember all that. It's very vivid to me. I'd be curious to see, there is a kind of, like, if you can, I have heard about this kind of therapy where you go back and you say, and you kind of re-remember it in certain ways, or you say the things that you wanted to say. And I think, yeah, I do think that that's valuable, because you're doing that inner work. It's not exactly the same thing. The thing is, one doesn't obviate the other. I guess mm-hmm. that's my point.
Okay.
But you can go back and you can say, these things happened and they were painful. But you can also look at it as, like, again, you can look at it and say, I mean, I look at certain aspects of my childhood and, like, you know, growing up in, you know, when I was a kid, I got picked on a lot, and that was really painful for me. And I don't, you know, I don't want to gloss over it, but does that mean that at some point that I needed, like, obviously I had some growing to do, because there was something I was, you know, that I how can I say this? There were opportunities for me to change myself and opportunities to look back and say, and maybe that also helped me become more sensitive and compassionate towards other people. So mm-hmm. it's not like there's no value. It's finding, in a way, it's about the meaning that we make of our situations.
Mm-hmm.
Can we find meaning? You know, there's a guy named Professor Dan McAdams. He's with the University of Chicago, and he has, like, I think it's the, can't remember exactly the name of the Institute for the Human Story, I think is what it's called. And he describes suffering in some ways as a storytelling deficit, the ability to create a coherent cause and effect narrative from the events in our lives that leads to sort of a distorted story. And so if we can find, and in some ways, if we can use our, what I describe as our power of interpretation to find meaning in our story, you know, that in itself is, it's of value, whether it's, you know, truthful, you know, I don't think you're glossing over, if you're saying like some of those things never happened, then you're glossing over the truth. But if you're saying, you know, those things happened, they were hard, they were painful, but I grew from them. And I learned this and I learned that, and maybe I haven't learned other things that I need to, like, maybe learn right now. Maybe there's something still to be learned from this story. I mean, that's kind of what a therapist does sometimes. We help people go back and explore their stories and find meaning in them and make sense of them and help them come to terms with their story in a way that is valuable for them.
Hmm.
So that doesn't mean that they don't look and say, gosh, that was painful or that was hard, but they come to have, in some ways, the more that you can, like, life, like, again, it's going back to sort of life is tough sometimes. And the more that you can kind of, I think I didn't say this, but the more that you accept it, the easier that becomes, life becomes.
Right.
It's our expectations that often get in the way. And so if you can look, and the more human you are, and the more you can say, like, oh, wow, that was painful. This is part of what it means to be a human being. There are challenges. My life has a story. Sometimes I'm challenged and I have to grow through it. If you can find meaning in that story, you're going to be better off psychologically than if you can't find meaning in it. And I'm not just saying this because I wrote a book that has that perspective, but, you know, the school of positive psychology, which is all the rage and lately, is, you know, they've done studies that show that how you make meaning of things is a big determination in how people and what helps people be happy.
Exactly. Well, I know that two instances in my career where one boss took me back into the transmitter room and just verbally upbraided me to the point where I thought he was going to hit me, and I couldn't sleep for 3 days until he and I discussed it and we resolved. And then probably 10, 15 years later, I was working for another radio station, and the station he was running was bought by the company that owned the station I was working at. So they moved into the same facility, and we went through some transformational periods. And the general manager of the station I was working for called me into his office with the gentleman who was the first antagonist.
Wow.
And the general manager at that time, he upbraided me in front of this gentleman. But the difference was, the first time it happened, I completely forgot the reasons why I had done the things that he was accusing me of doing until 3 days later, and I remembered, and I told him, and he was very apologetic. Mm-hmm. This time, while I'm sitting there, I had to keep from laughing because I knew I hadn't done anything wrong. I had just done my job that had supposedly interfered with another gentleman completing his task, but based upon the available information, blah, 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 blah. But I had to keep from laughing. So I sat there in what they call open body posture with my feet flat on the floor and my hands on my knees. And I just sat there and I watched him rant and rave and walk around the conference room table. And I was like, okay. And when you're done, I'll walk out of here and I'll feel clean and I will be able to sleep tonight and it'll all be good, because I had gone through that first experience. And so your example of us playing the observer, i.e. we are going to play God as the observer in our own story, we can see that transformational progress that when we go through these different steps, even in your work, of a step out of your story, writing exercises to reframe and transform your life. We go through those steps, and it's like, my gosh, it opens up a whole, even a bigger world of, wow, I can do this. I can make new choices to put myself in a place that I really want to be in, consciously aware of the direction I want my life to go.
Absolutely. That's the whole point. And how did you feel when you, I mean, I'm sure it didn't feel good to be berated, but how did you feel about yourself and how you handled it when you were
in the moment, again, I had to keep from laughing, but when I left the room, and I'm sharing the story with my coworker who is involved in all of the situations that led up to my being called in, I felt quite honestly, I felt really good. And like, you know what? He could have fired me and I still would have felt okay. And that I was, I don't want to say that I was in control of the situation, but at least I was in control of me. And I wasn't in my emotions to where I couldn't think. I couldn't process logically, oh, I see what he's complaining about. Okay. And I know what I did. And I know what the other guy did.
Right.
And from my perspective, I'm okay.
Right. You didn't take it personally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I even went to work for that guy when we moved here to Santa Barbara. I worked for him for a few months.
Yeah.
Because I knew, again, this is that observer again. Whenever people come back into your life, there's unfinished business.
Yeah.
So when this old general manager came back into my life, I knew we hadn't quite finished what we had started for and worked on for 15 years.
Right.
So it's to me, it's quite extraordinary in that regard to be able to do that, to be able to sit down and write. And I know that you have exercise after exercise in your book. You even have on your website a sample exercise that is a part of the book, Step Out of Your Story, that people can use. And it's actually going to help them to actually get started on the process. Of that transformational journey, and I find that when I'm writing, I see the images in my head, or even when I'm reading. I still remember when I read Dan Brown's book, The Da Vinci Code. It was really funny because I'm watching the characters carry out all of the various activities that he's writing about. Mm-hmm. And when the movie came out, mm-hmm. and I hadn't picked an actor to play that particular role.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hanks looked exactly like the character in my head.
Oh, interesting.
That was wild. But so anyway, we've already lived these stories. So mm-hmm. it's not going to be hard for us to see them in our mind's eye.
Right.
And then go back through and do that self, I had the word for a second there, analysis, if you mm-hmm. will. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, before we wrap things up here, is there a danger in overanalyzing? I mean, is there a point where you need to stop?
If it feels like it's bringing up too much anxiety or pain, I mean, it's kind of like what people say, it's like what yoga instructors say to your students. If you're in pain, stop. If you're a little uncomfortable, you know, maybe this is a good thing. I mean, that's the whole, again, I talk about this being a character development workout. In life, we often opt for, you know, we might push ourselves when we go to the gym, but in life, we want these sort of like, you know, low impact routines. But unless we're willing to really work our character development muscles, they don't grow and we can remain stunted. So to the point where it can be, you know, you're feeling like this is too painful, I would not encourage people to do that. But if you feel like it's like pushing you a little bit, keep going. Mm. Sure, there's always the danger of like, over self-analysis and be navel-gazing. But if you do the exercises and like, I don't recommend doing the book in 24 hours. I think that would be a little bit intense. But if you just kind of, I've had, you know, if you just do the exercises, even just picking, I'm going to contradict what I say in the beginning of the book, which is like do everything and go in a chronological order, which I say is probably the best way to get the most out of the book, but you can just pick and choose.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's something that feels meaningful for you and, you know, so yeah, I mean, I don't think, again, the more that you, it's not necessarily about, you know, narcissism or navel gazing. The whole idea is the more that you really know yourself, the more available you are to other people, the more you're able to share your gifts, the more you're able to be present in the world. The more that you're not being run by your antagonists. I mean, like if your antagonists are running you, you're going to be in constant conflict and in constant turmoil, and you're not going to feel in control of your story. But if you can look at your story again as a personal growth adventure and reframe how you see things and use the writing exercises to help you, for example, access your power, you know, access that voice of courage or access that voice of confidence in challenges, or really dialogue with why fear keeps showing up in your life when you're faced with these challenges, and then find a way to like imagine how you want to, you know, do writing exercises that help you imagine how you want to be in your story, you know, how you want it to unfold, then, you know, I think that's all work. I believe in, you know, obviously I'm a therapist. I've worked a lot on myself too. And I can say that I'm the better for it. So I believe that other people are the better for that as well when they work on themselves.
And because of the fact that we are, shall we say, electromagnetic beings or magnets of sorts, we tend to draw to us those kinds of things that we're focused on. As we begin that transformational process and we change our focus, or if you want to say change our polarity,
mm-hmm.
and we start drawing new experiences to ourselves. And new experiences, new people, new places, et cetera, new ways of thinking. And as you said, we encourage people when they listen to these programs to do the very same thing. Take what you need, take what works, take what resonates with you, and use it and make it work for you. And so we encourage people to go to your website, which is stepoutofyourstory.com. It's also the title of the book, Writing Exercises to Reframe and Transform Your Life. Before we wrap up, Kim, I have three final questions for you. Who is Kim Schneiderman?
Who is Kim Schneiderman? Am I supposed to say this in like on one foot, in 5 seconds? In what way?
In whatever way that...
Kim is an ever-evolving being who strives to grow through her experiences. I don't know. I mean, like I could answer that in so many different ways that it's hard to answer it in one. But, you know, I believe that in some ways, I guess I could say that I like to look at myself as sort of being a midwife for people, that I've done, I've been able to transform, I've been able to change my story by changing myself. And my goal is to sort of be a midwife for others in that process.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I want to help, I want to help people to look at their lives differently and feel more empowered about their story. I mean, I want to help people to improve, I mean, ultimately to help improve their lives and be able to respond more constructively to the challenges that they face.
And who inspires you?
Oh, wow. Huh, there's so many people. I mean, you know, I have a lot of very close friends. And they all inspire me in different ways. You know, of course, I can look to people that are like heroes like Martin Luther King or Nelson Mandela or, you know, I mean, a lot of people inspire me. I can't think of one in I can't think of one person right now. To be honest with you, I'm inspired by my clients all the time. I'm inspired when they are able to overcome things that they didn't think they could overcome. It really totally inspires me. It's why I do what I do. I feel inspired by the people I work with and help.
Well, Kim Schneiderman, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program, sharing your story and talking to us about a step out of your story. I think that people will gain a great deal of insight into themselves. They'll know themselves better, and that will certainly help to make this a better place for all of us to live.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
The title again is Step Out of Your Story. The same with .com is the website. We encourage you to check out Kim's information. We will be linked to her on the website. We encourage you to check all of that good information out. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.